God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 13. And for our reading, before we get into our study, we're going to be in verses 32 through 37. Mark chapter 13 this afternoon. We're just going to continue our study through Mark, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we're actually going to be finishing chapter 13, and by the grace of God and for the glory of God, after this chapter, we only need three more chapters left, and so that is very, very exciting, and man, we're making progress, and in my opinion, we're doing exactly what every church should do, and we're doing exactly what we want to be doing as we wait the Lord's return, just studying His Word. And so Mark 13, let's begin in verse 32, fam, and we'll read all the way down to verse 37. We'll be finishing the chapter this afternoon. And this is what the word of the Lord says. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Stay awake. Amen. This is the word of the Lord here in Mark 13, 32 through 37. And all of God's people declares, amen. Amen. This afternoon, I have titled our study, my message, simply stay awake. Stay awake. If you recall, fam, from previous studies, here in Mark chapter 13, we find a sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples, and we know this sermon as the Olivet Discourse. If you recall, we're at the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. We believe it is Tuesday. The Lord has spent all morning and I believe possibly all afternoon in the temple. There in the temple, he was teaching the multitudes, preaching the gospel, disputing and correcting and rebuking the religious leaders. He's been all day, all morning at the temple. But then Mark tells us that he exits the temple and he begins to go to the Mount of Olives. And really there in the Mount of Olives, as he arrives, his disciples ask Jesus a few questions. Really, according to Matthew, they ask Jesus three questions. They're looking at the temple. They're admiring the buildings, the beauty of the temple. Jesus tells them that soon all of the temple is going to be destroyed. He gives a prophecy concerning the destruction of the temple. And really the response of the disciples is three questions. They want to know more. They want to know the details. And so really they ask them first, when will these things be? And the idea there is when is the temple going to be destroyed? What are going to be some of the signs before the temple is destroyed? Now, that first question, Mark chooses not to record the answer. Only Luke records it in his gospel. But then the second question they ask Jesus is, what will be the sign of your coming? What would be the sign when you appear in power and glory to establish your kingdom? And then the last question they ask Jesus is, and what will be the sign of the end of the age? Now, those last two questions Luke does record here in Mark 13, Jesus' answer. And really what we have learned is Jesus answers the second question first. And he begins to share with his disciples some of the signs that are going to appear as the end of the world draws near. And if you recall, some of the things Jesus told us is that there's going to be appearances of false teachers and false religions and false messiahs. Then Jesus told us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters like famine and like earthquakes, a persecution of Christians, the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. Jesus begins to mention all these signs, which will really be like birth pains. As the end draws near, they're going to be more frequent and more intense, and we're going to see them more and more until the end comes. And we said that as we look around the world, we see the birth pains, and we're seeing them now more than ever. And then the second thing Jesus does, and the second thing Mark records, is the Lord, after he describes the signs of the end of the age, he begins to talk about his return to the earth. And he begins to share with us the sign of his coming. And he begins to describe to us how he is going to return. And really, if you can look with me in verse 26, this is really the key verse, Matthew 13, verse 26. The Lord tells us that when he does return, look what he says, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, and this is how he's going to return. He's going to return with great power and with great glory. When the Lord returns, he's not going to come like the first time he came. The first time Jesus came, he came as a humble servant. He came to lay down his life. He came to give his life as a sacrifice for our sins. But the Lord tells us that the next time he comes, he's not coming humbly and meekly, but he's coming with great power and great glory. In other words, he's coming as a conquering king, and he's coming, according to the book of Revelation, to judge and to make war. He's coming to crush. He's coming to judge. He's coming to condemn all those who rejected him. And so up to this point, we've looked at the signs of the end and the signs and the description of Jesus' return. Now, as we come to the end of chapter 13, really the end of the message that Jesus gave concerning the end, according to Mark, now what Jesus does is he begins to share with us the importance of being prepared for the end and for his return. And so this is the question. All the signs are there. All the birth pains are there. All of us, even though we probably don't want to admit it, we see an end coming. Don't know when. We don't know the details, but we know that's where it's marching. The world is crazy, and the world cannot continue forever in its present condition. And so we see and we understand that the world is coming to an end, that Jesus is going to return, that Jesus is at the gates. And so the question is, how should we prepare ourselves for all of that? What should be our attitude? What should be our heart? What should be our mindset as we await the Lord's return? What should we be doing? What should we not be doing as we wait for the return of King Jesus? Well, really, In our text this afternoon, that's what Jesus addresses. He exhorts us to be ready and to be prepared because his return is so near. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about being prepared, staying awake as we return, as we await the Lord's return. Amen, fam. Amen. We're going to be blessed, I promise you. And so let's get into our text. And like always, I want to share with you a few things that we see and learn from Mark 13, verses 32 through 37. Let's begin from the top. Look with me again, verse 32. And this is where Jesus begins in our text. And so this is where we're going to begin. Notice first the mystery of the Lord's return. The mystery of the Lord's return. Let's read verse 32 again. But this is what Jesus tells us. But concerning that day or that hour. Now that's a reference to his return. When he returns to the earth with great power and glory. The Lord says, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. What an interesting verse, amen. So the first thing we see is the mystery. And we would say this, the mystery of the day and the hour of the Lord's return. After Jesus shares a description of his return, and after Jesus shares with us some of the signs that will precede the end of this age and his return, Jesus then, in verse 32, he tells his disciples that nobody knows the exact day or hour of his return. These are the signs. This is what we should be looking for. These are some of the characteristics of what it's going to be like when he returns. But then Jesus says, but nobody knows the exact day or hour when I will return. Now, really, that verse is going to set up what Jesus is going to tell us in verse 33. And we're going to look at that in our next point. But really, the idea here is because nobody knows, look at verse 33, be on guard, keep awake. You see that, fam, in your text? You see the connection? The Lord is saying, because nobody knows the day, because nobody knows the hour, you always have to be on guard, and you always have to stay awake because nobody knows the hour or the time. Now, I will confess with you, this verse, verse 32, at times could be a problem for some believers. And let me explain. Jesus says here, look at me again, let's talk a little bit about this. Jesus says that nobody knows the day or the hour of his return. And then Jesus adds this. He says that the angels don't know. He says the Son, speaking of himself, doesn't know, but only the Father knows. Now, this is the problem. We confess, and the Bible is clear, Jesus is fully God. Amen, fam? We say Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son in the order of God. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. That is one of the essential doctrines and truths of the Christian church. And so the question is, if Jesus is God, doesn't Jesus know everything? Because God, obviously, one of his attributes is he is all-knowing, omniscient. He's all-knowing. That's what it means, or one of the things it means to be God. You know everything. You learn nothing. And so, if Jesus is fully God, the Son of God, and if being God means you are all-knowing, how then can there be something that Jesus doesn't know? Because Jesus says that he doesn't know the day or the time of his return. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll look at this and say, see, he's not God. He's less than God. Because God knows everything, and Jesus confesses here that he doesn't know something. You see how it could be a problem, amen? Some of you are like, yeah, it's a problem for me right now. Well, let me share with you how we respond to it, and really how the Bible responds to it. Most definitely, Jesus is fully God, eternal Son of God. He always has been, and he will always be God. But remember, we also confess, because the Bible teaches, that Jesus is also fully man. Fully God, amen. But at the first Christmas, we could say, just to be simplistic, Jesus became a man. God took upon himself a human nature. He became flesh and blood. And so Jesus, fully God, but he's also perfectly man. And I don't want to get too technical, and I might lose a few of you, but this is our official belief and understanding of Jesus. Jesus has two natures. United in the person of the Son are two natures. A divine nature. He's fully God, but he also is fully man. Jesus possesses a human nature. And so this is the response. When Jesus is making this statement, he is operating from his human nature. Jesus is saying this as a man. Because remember, he's fully God, but also he's fully man. So in his human nature, as a man, Jesus didn't know everything. As God, he knows everything, but as a man operating in his human nature, he didn't know everything. Luke tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. When you read the Gospels, you learn that Jesus grew hungry. Can God get hungry? Like, does God need to go to In-N-Out for lunch? Absolutely not. Jesus is operating out of his human nature. The Bible teaches us that Jesus got thirsty. Does God get thirsty? Does God need like a water break? Like after God created the universe, did he like need a water break? Absolutely not. Jesus is operating from his human nature. What about this? The Gospels teach us that Jesus got tired and he slept. Does God sleep? Even though sometimes we think he's sleeping, but God never sleeps. Impossible. Jesus, fully God, but also fully man. He was operating out of his human nature. And so as a man, this is all you need to know, and I'm going to give you some application. Jesus didn't know the day or hour of his return. As God, yes, in his divine nature, absolutely. But as a man in his human nature, he did not know. Now, this is the application, and then we'll continue to the second point. If the angels in heaven don't know, and if Jesus in his human nature, if he didn't know, then most definitely we don't know. Most definitely you don't know. If the angels don't know, you don't know the hour or the day of his return. And that's the idea. That's what Jesus is emphasizing in verse 32. Nobody, with the exception of God, knows when Jesus is coming back. Now, sadly, there's been a lot of people throughout the history of the church, especially for whatever reason within the last 100 years, who have tried to say, who have claimed that they know the hour and the day when Jesus is coming to the earth. And so every once in a while you hear about someone bringing out a date, saying that, okay, on this day, in this month, in this year, Jesus is going to return. You have what we call date setters. People who say, you know what, God has revealed this to me. I have cracked the code of the Bible because the Bible is so hard to understand and you need a code to understand it. And I figured it out. Jesus is coming back on this day. You have a lot of crazy people who say those crazy things. And what's sad is a lot of people believe them. A lot of people believe them. A lot of people sell all their stuff and follow them, go live on the mountains just waiting for the return of Jesus. And he doesn't come back. And they're crushed and they're devastated and they lose their faith. Happens a lot. And it's sad because all they had to do was read this verse. Nobody knows the exact day or hour. There's no code to be broken. There's no riddle to figure out. Nobody knows. And that means exactly what Jesus is saying. Nobody knows when the Lord is coming back. And so because of that, and this is where we're getting to for the next point, we always have to be ready. And we always have to be prepared because nobody knows. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. All that we know is that he is coming back. But we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We don't know the month. We don't know the year. We don't know what time during the day. Nobody knows. Not even the angels in heaven. And so as believers, guess what? That means we always have to live in continuous expectation and preparation because our King can come back at any moment. He can come back at any moment. Nobody knows. You know, at times we have this attitude, I believe he's coming back, but I think he's coming back years from now. Years from now, I'm probably going to be old when he comes back. Listen, nobody knows. You're probably going to be young. You're probably going to be middle-aged. You're probably going to be old. I don't know because nobody knows. Nobody knows. He can come back right now. And for some of us, that would be amazing. And for some of us, that would be terrifying. He can come back tonight. Come back tomorrow. I just don't know. And that's the point. Nobody knows. And so because of that, man, we got to be ready. And we got to be prepared. It's serious. It's so serious, Jesus took the time to tell us about it. Because he doesn't want anybody to be surprised. Or he doesn't want anybody to be caught off guard. He doesn't want anyone to say, well, I didn't know. Why didn't anyone tell me? And Jesus says, I told you, but you weren't listening. Nobody knows. So you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. Now, the second thing we see here is the preparation for the Lord's return, because really that's what the Lord focuses on this text. After setting up the truth that nobody knows, the Lord now tells us because of that, look at verse 33. Because nobody knows, because you don't know, because Adam doesn't know, because nobody knows, the Lord says, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know the time that I will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. And notice how many times Jesus is going to say that. Stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, I say to everyone, stay awake. Stay awake. The second thing we now see is the preparation for the Lord's return. Because nobody knows when the Lord is going to return, because the date and the hour is a mystery that only God knows, now what Jesus does is he tells us, because of that, be on guard. Keep awake. because you don't know when I'm returning, because you don't know the date, the hour, the time, you must always be ready. You must always be prepared. And really the exhortation the Lord is giving us is, don't let your guard down. Don't fall asleep. Don't get distracted. Don't get caught up with the things of this world. But be on guard. Keep awake. Stay alert. Because I can come at any moment. That's really what the Lord is telling us. We have to be prepared. We have to be prepared because the Lord can return at any moment. Now, beginning in verse 34, really what the Lord now does is to emphasize what he's trying to tell us, to emphasize his point. Jesus gives us an illustration. And Jesus always does this. Jesus is the master teacher who always gives us illustrations, pictures of what he's telling us. And this is what he tells us. Look at verse 34. He tells us that his return is like a man going on a journey. And the idea here is this man is going on a journey for business. This is a wealthy man. This is a master of a house. This is an entrepreneur, you might say. And he goes out of town on business. And then we're told that this master of the house, he puts two of his servants in charge of his household while he is on business. And really, he also commands, he gives instructions to the doorkeeper to stay awake. And so this master of the house, he's leaving on business, and he gives instructions to his servants while he's away. And really, the main instruction is, stay awake. He tells the doorkeeper, I'm leaving, but I'll be back. But this is my instruction, this is my orders. Stay awake while I'm gone. Now, the doorkeeper, he had an important job in the house. Because really, he was in charge of guarding the door. He was in charge of protecting the door, protecting the house, protecting the property. His job was to announce who was coming and who was leaving. And so this is the idea. If he fell asleep, thieves could come in. Robbers could sneak in. If he fell asleep, enemies might attack. And so whatever the doorkeeper does, he can't fall asleep. Because if he falls asleep, man, the house is done. It's done. It's like you buying a guard dog, you know, this big Rottweiler, pit bull. And the job of that dog is to stay awake and to protect the household. Well, let's say you overfeed them, I don't know, or give them some NyQuil accidentally, and he knocks out. And there could be trouble if he's sleeping and here comes the thief and the robber. That's the idea here. The doorkeeper, whatever he does, he cannot fall asleep. And so Jesus tells us that this man leaves his servants in charge of his house. He commands the doorkeeper to stay away. And really, look at verse 35. He tells all of them, listen, all of you have to stay awake. I don't want to catch you sleeping when I come back. I'm coming back, and I'm coming back when you least expect it. You don't know when I'm going to come back, and so I want you to be doing exactly what I told you to do. Servants, I want you to be working. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be good stewards. Doorkeeper, I want you to be awake. I want you to be protecting and guarding and watching over everything I have entrusted into your hands, but I don't want you to be asleep. I don't want you to be idle. I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want you to be doing your own thing when I come back. Because I'm coming back when you least expect it. I want you to be awake, and I want you to be faithful, and I want you to be a good steward. And so look at verse 35. The Lord says, therefore, stay awake. Stay awake. Because you don't know when I'm coming back. And this is the application. Our master has left the house for a season. He's left this earth for a season. And guess what? He's put his church in charge as stewards of his household. We are stewards of Christ. Now, a steward simply means someone who has been entrusted with something. We are not the owners. We are stewards. Stewards. We are servants. The master has given us things. He's given us gifts. He's given us resources. He's given us his word, his message, his good news. He's given us his spirit, his presence. He's given us prayer and fasting. He's given us the church, the family of God. He's given us a mission, the Great Commission. He's given us commandments. He's given us instructions. The master has left. He has left us in charge as stewards, and he has given us a work to do. And this is the application. One day, the master of the house is coming back. One day, he's coming back to us. One day, he's coming back home. He's returning. And on that day, the question is, how is he going to find us? Because remember, we're stewards, we're servants. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a steward, you're a servant. And you've been given orders. Whether you like them or not, whether you know what they are or not, you've been given orders in the Word. And you're accountable to your master. I'm accountable to Jesus. I will answer to King Jesus one day. You know, every once in a while, man at church, maybe not at this fellowship, but in church as a whole, sometimes the attitude is like, what will the brother say? What will that brother say about me? What will that sister think about me? Listen, who cares? What will Jesus say? What does Jesus think? When he returns, that's all that matters. That's the only thing that's significant. What does Jesus think? What is Jesus going to say when I stand before him? What is the Lord going to say to me when he returns to his house? How is he going to find me? How is the Lord going to find us? Awake. Ready, prepared, faithfully doing what he's called us to do. Or is he going to find us sleeping? Is he going to find us distracted? Is he going to find us lazy, disobedient? Is he not going to find us? Are we not in the household of the faith? How is the Lord going to find us? The master's coming back. How is the Lord going to find us? Make preparations. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us through this text. Make preparations. Be ready. Get ready. Get ready. Take it serious. Take it serious. This should be the passion of your heart. It should be the focus of your life. This should be your goal. This should be your dream. This should be the vision. By the grace of God, I need to get ready. I need to get ready for Jesus' return. Make preparations. Now notice verse 37, and I end with this. Notice now the exhortation the Lord gives. The Lord ends, really according to Matthew, his sermon here with an exhortation. And this is the exhortation. He says, and what I say to you, I say to all. Now, the idea there is the Lord is giving this message, he's giving this sermon to his disciples, to the 12 disciples on the Mount of Olives. But the idea here is, even though he's giving it to these 12 disciples, it's not just for these 12. It's for everyone. It's for all his disciples. It's for all of the church. It's for all of those who would believe in him. And so he really ends with the words, what I say to you, I say to everyone. I say to all of my disciples. I say to everyone who will believe in me. I say to the whole church. What I say to you, I say to all. And this is what the Lord says. Stay awake. Stay awake. That's what he's telling us. Stay awake. In other words, this is another way we can understand it. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. But stay awake. Don't allow the things of this world to cause you to fall asleep. Don't allow the pleasures of this world. Don't allow the love of this world. Don't allow the entertainment of this world. Don't allow the pills of this world, the goodies of this world, to cause you to fall asleep. But the Lord says, stay awake. Stay awake. So that when I return, you'll be ready. You'll be prepared. You'll be eagerly anticipating my return. And the Lord says, and what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. And in my opinion, that's the best way to end Mark 13. Stay awake. Stay awake, fam. The enemy wants you to sleep. The flesh wants you to sleep. The things of this world, the world system wants you to sleep. And Jesus says, stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Be alert. Be on guard. Be attentive. Stay awake. Stay awake. Because Jesus is coming back soon. God bless you, fam. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? We're going to take communion. And so we had to end a little early, but let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, we want to thank you for your message in this text. I love these types of texts, Lord, because they're so easy to understand. It's like when you read this, when you hear this, there's no question what it means. Everybody knows what it means. Everyone gets it today. Everybody receives it. This is a perfect day to come to church because there's no excuses. There's nobody who can leave and say, I didn't understand that. Of course you understood it. Of course I've understood it. Lord, you're telling us to stay awake. You're telling us, Lord, that you're coming back, that your return is near, Lord. All the signs are there. All the birth pains are around us. All the characteristics, all the signs are there, Lord. They're there, Lord. And sadly, Lord, there's so many churches, there's so many Christians who are sleeping, Lord. They're sleeping, Lord. They just don't get it. It just hasn't registered their hearts and their minds that, man, Jesus is coming back. He's coming soon. And there's so many who are sleeping, Lord. Sleeping at church, sleeping at home, sleeping at work, or just sleeping spiritually. No passion for you, no desire, no energy. Nobody's awake, just sleeping. And that breaks my heart, Lord. Because when you come back, so many people are not going to be ready. And Lord, I feel that one of the jobs of the church is to get people ready for your return. Starting with the church, Lord. Starting with believers. Starting with those who confess to be followers of Christ. That's where it starts, Lord. Because if we're not ready, how in the world can we expect for anyone else to be ready? If we're not ready, Lord, if we're sleeping, how are we going to wake someone up, Lord? If the church is sleeping, Lord, if I'm sleeping, how am I going to wake up my children, Lord? How am I going to wake up my community? How am I going to wake up my co-workers, my family members, if I'm sleeping, Lord? If I'm asleep spiritually, if I'm slumbering, if I'm snoring, just living the good life with thinking of nothing eternal, how am I going to wake up somebody, Lord? How am I going to be a blessing to my family? How am I going to lead people to Christ? How am I going to point people in the direction of Jesus if I myself am asleep? Oh God, it starts with us, Lord. It starts with me, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. We don't want to sleep, Lord. We don't want to slumber, Lord. We want to take this serious, Lord. This is life and death. This is eternity, Lord. This is really going to happen, Lord. Just put that in our hearts, Lord. A conviction that you are coming back, Lord. That you are coming back. We can't play games. Now is not the time. Be absent from church. Now's the time to go all in. Because the master is going to return. Oh God, wake us up. That's our prayer. Help us. Help us, God. Give us grace. Give me grace, God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Do a work in my heart, God. Do a fresh work, a new work, Lord, that you would wake me up, Lord, that you would open up my eyes, that you would open up my heart, Lord, that there would be an urgency in our lives that, yes, Jesus is coming back. Man, praise God for work and praise God for these activities and these events. Praise God for the NBA playoffs and praise God for boxing matches that we can enjoy, but hey, Jesus is coming back. That's what I need to be talking about. That's what I need to be thinking about. That's what I need to be getting prepared for, man. Jesus is coming back. Praise God for work, Lord. Praise God for the things you have given us, and we embrace them as gifts. We're not going to sell everything, Lord, and live in the mountains. We're going to live life for your glory. But Lord, help us not to get so caught up in the gifts, in the blessings, that we forget the one whom they come from. Help us not to forget the source, Lord. Help us to always remember where they're coming from, who's behind them. Help us to always remember, Lord, that, man, you're coming back, Lord. Can't be playing games. It's not time to play games. It's time to stay awake and to be on guard and to be alert, because the King is coming back. And Lord, I believe with all my heart, one of the ways that we stay awake, one of the ways, Lord, that we just prepare ourselves, that we prepare our lives, is through taking communion, Lord. It's through the Lord's Supper. That's not the only way, but that is a way you've given us, Lord, a means of grace. And so now, Lord, as we prepare and as we take communion, Lord, may we remember and celebrate your death, and may we proclaim it until you come, Lord. May we think of the past, of what you've done, but also, Lord, may we look to the future of what you're going to do, Lord. Use this. Use the Lord's Supper. Use communion, Lord. Just light a fire in our hearts, Lord. May your presence be real, Lord, as we remember and celebrate your death. All right, fam, we can.